Everybody, thank you for being with us, and man, reunited, and it feels so good. Jeff Ulrich, Adam Kaufman, the two of us hanging out with you for the next half hour, little Jock Market NBA discussion. Moose, good to see you, pal.
Yeah, I mean, they try to keep us off the internets together, and it's just impossible, man. You can't keep, the mega powers on the sidelines for long. But yeah, different format, different thing we're talking about. Love the Jock Market. The site, the IPOs and stuff. And, first time talking about it for basketball. So going to be new for me talking about it. I know you're a big basketball guy. So, Hey, I'll give this guy some credit. Good basketball resource. You don't follow Adam Kaufman on Twitter. You should. And he'll have good insights just along with me. Not as good as
I appreciate that. I know. We'll just switch halfway through to hockey. It'll be, my specialty, your specialty. We'll just bounce around. It'll be great. I don't know if that would make the sponsors happy, but we could do it just to make ourselves happy. But it is right. A 10-game slate in the NBA. And, you highlighted, obviously, being a big fan of how things work with Jock Market. I did this last week with Eric. I'd like to do it again with you because I think some people – are so used to just tuning in for whatever great Osmo programming comes their way. It's whatever. Let's just get into it. Tell me where to spend my money. Tell me how to make my bets for tonight. Jock Market obviously works a little bit differently, actually much differently than, say, Daily Fantasy. So what do the people need to know who may be new to this format?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously in, Daily Fantasy, some of the themes are the same. What really sets Jock Market apart is that, you're really just looking for the best value every night. You're not necessarily, you don't need to pay up for the best players. What you're looking for is to try and make the most money on your investment. So it's just like a stock market. I mean, if you buy the most expensive, fancy looking stock, but it goes up 1%, that's not great compared to a guy who maybe bought the 75th best stock and it went up 100%, right? So you're looking for the best return on your value. And how you do that on Jock Market is, there's IPOs, you bid on them pregame. And again, you're trying to buy stock in the players who you think is going to get you the best return on the night. So how do we calculate return? Well, it's in terms of fantasy points. You buy a certain number of shares of a player. You can buy as many as one. You can buy as many as you want. And you put in your bid price. If you get the shares back, you own shares of that player for the night. You can buy and sell them in game as well. But assuming you hold them for the end of the night, the payouts are all based on what they did compared to their compatriots. So again, it's really just a stock market approach. And most people are at least a little bit familiar with that. So we're not necessarily just looking for the guy who's, we want lots of fantasy points, but we're not necessarily looking for the guy who is the top player out there projected. It's more just who do we think we can get for cheap? Who do we think we can get at fair valuations, and who is going to get us the best return on our investments? So a little bit different way of looking at it for sure, but it's a ton of fun. Once you've done it a couple times, man, you will like this format. And again, I'm excited to talk about it for basketball. So,
and of course, you can get a guy at a buck, goes all the way up to $25. So it is wide ranging, as Jeff outlined. You're looking for value. Thing is, Moose, and we both know this, whether you're talking football, basketball, whatever the sport, sometimes the most expensive guy or the highest projected guy might be one of the top value options. You look at, obviously, the guys that are available to you, and there are a lot on this 10-game slate tonight. Two-thirds of the league are in action. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Karl-Anthony Towns, James Harden, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Domantas Sabonis, LeBron James, Bradley Beal, Trae Young, Jason Tatum. I could go on. There are a lot of big names that are available to you, but you go right there at the top, and Giannis is considered one of the great value options tonight. Going off of some of the projections, that we have that Alex Baker puts out on the Osmo website, of course, Osmo himself, Giannis, 52 projected points. He is a fair IPO price right now of just a shade over $17. You can go over, obviously, to where things stand going into the day, because those are just projections and Jeff can outline the differences. But Giannis, fair value right now, it's $14 and change, but projected for a little closer to 55 points. So break down this discrepancy here.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, you should check out if you're not a member at Osmo. Obviously, a lot of these projections where we're getting them from. But there's definitely a couple players at the top of Jock Market you can look for today that we have projected for being good targets. I mean, Giannis, he's in terms of fair value on Jock Market, he's got the biggest price attached to him. But we also have him projected for a fair IPO price that's actually bigger than what he is projected on Jock Market. So he's looking like a pretty decent value there, you know, sitting there at like a $14 fair value. So his projected rank, again, for us, he's got the biggest projection on the site. So obviously a projected rank of first. Now, obviously, there's, you know, there's some risk taking a guy like that. He needs to come in at least 5.8 for a break even, but this is a player with a really fantastic fantasy floor. I think we all know that. And even if he doesn't, you know, even if we get like a lower player go off tonight, say like a Russell Westbrook goes for a triple double, ends up in first position. I mean, Giannis, you know, coming in third or fourth isn't going to hurt you. It's actually probably going to get you, you know, make you a profit. So we have him projected as pretty solid for what he's again going for fair value. Another player though who really sticks out is Karl-Anthony Towns. He's got a fair value of just under $9, but you know, from the projections, again, it's a player we have over $12 for a fair IPO price. So Karl-Anthony Towns in that game might actually be the better target. Again, a break-even rank right now would be around 14.4 compared to his fair value mark on Jock Market, and we haven't projected for better than that. So both players in that big game there, both big names, tend to be like guys you should be looking at. But I think Karl-Anthony Towns is actually, I mean, A, he's going to cost you less, which is always nice. You can pick up a few more shares if you want. Again, you can spend the same amount of money. You can just get more shares of Karl-Anthony Towns. It's going to be cheaper to get. But he looks like the better value, the guy I would rather be bidding on in that game.
So as Jeff outlined, obviously these guys are going in the same game. It's Minnesota at Milwaukee. And I guess where I would push back on you a little bit, and this isn't me saying that Karl-Anthony Towns is bad bang for your buck or a bad player or anything like that. Maybe he goes off. Giannis, we've already seen multiple, you know, and the season's new. You know, teams have only played 3, 4, 5 games. Giannis has already had multiple really huge games. But on top of that, you look more at what's around him, obviously, or maybe lack thereof. In the case of tonight for the Bucks, you've got Brooke Lopez is out, Drew Holiday more notably is out, and so it's Giannis, it's Chris Middleton, it's kind of the two-man show. And it sort of makes me think back a little bit to last night's Lakers game, for instance, where you mentioned Russell Westbrook. He goes off, just missed out on a triple double, by far his best game as a Laker. But you look at it and say, well, no kidding, like, of course he had a great game. LeBron didn't play. You know, it was Russ, it was Anthony Davis. Anytime, and this is a larger scale as it relates to the Lakers, because we're talking about generally bigger names, no disrespect to the Middletons and Holidays of the world, but Russ is going to have those games. He's going to have those games with regularity anytime one of LeBron or Davis is unavailable for whatever the reason, load management, injury, what have you. As long as the three of those guys are playing, it just washes all of them out, potentially. Russ more so, because he's the new guy. He needs to have the ball in his hands. So does LeBron. We know how it works there in LA. They're just, the roster construction there is an absolute mess for the Lakers. On a lesser scale again, or maybe in some ways a broader way of looking at it, if you want to hone in on Milwaukee, is Giannis is going to be Giannis almost no matter what, but he's Giannis next level. You know, he's Giannis whatever squared when you don't have, again, one of his key studs around him. So Holiday not being available, Middleton, he becomes maybe a more attractive play in Jock Market, DFS, wherever you're looking. But Giannis in particular, I think there's a reason that we're talking about him is, yeah, you know, a reasonable, even good value, even though he's right there at the top of the projections.
I think the best way to put it, and it's fair, very fair point by you, Giannis is definitely the safer play. I mean, he's probably not going to, you know, even if you have to pay a little bit more than fair value or whatever, it's hard to see him not finishing in like the top five tonight. Now it's NBA, NBA DFS. Obviously anything can happen, but sure. You're right. In this situation with like the usage he's going to get, it's a pretty strong spot. Towns definitely, I feel like, probably going to be able to get for cheaper. So there is probably a better potential for a bigger return on Towns. But yeah, the spot for Giannis, there's a reason why he's first and he's projected like this, and you just covered it all. So I do think Westbrook is interesting. We should mention him for a sec. I mean, could be a very similar situation, right, to last night. I mean, Anthony Davis.
Well, LeBron currently questionable, so we'll see.
LeBron currently questionable. Anthony Davis on a back-to-back. They like to rest him in these spots. It's OKC. OKC.
Although you get the series blowout, you know, not even potential, but likelihood there. You know,
likelihood.
Thunder are 0-4 rebuilding. They're terrible.
Yeah, I mean, third last in defensive efficiency. I don't even need to throw out those stats. If it's Westbrook again and those guys are out, I mean, he's going to have a very good shot at a triple-double, do whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just going to do his Westbrook thing. So, again, he's not projected as strongly, but that is also because LeBron James hasn't been ruled out yet. I would imagine you'd see Westbrook pump up in those projections on Osimo once that news comes down, if that news breaks the way we think. But another player to keep an eye on, because maybe people are late breaking to the news. Maybe Westbrook is a guy you target in game. You know, maybe he starts slow. You try and get some cheap shares. That's the beauty of Jock Market too. We can talk about these guys. You don't necessarily have to bid on them all pregame. You can just watch them. You can see how Westbrook starts and go from there. Maybe the Lakers game ends up being close, and then you try and pick up some shares, because then Westbrook will be usage all game long. So,
what about, and with Westbrook, and you know me, I like these stories. It's not like it's his first game back or anything like that, but it's in OKC. He's been gone for a couple of years. Is there any sort of revenge narrative? You know, is there, especially like LeBron certainly buys into that stuff. Davis seems like the kind of guy too. I mean, is there a little bit more feeding Westbrook the ball there in his homecoming at, you know, team that he was with so long? While you're talking, I'm going to look back and see how many times he's been back there since, obviously being with the Wizards and the Rockets. Yeah.
It does feel like he was on OKC like last decade, which actually might be true, but hey, I mean, look, it is his like first, you know, romance thing, and that hurts the most. So, I mean, the Lakers are just in a spot where, again, it really depends on the injury news with LA, but they're just in a spot where if it's just Westbrook out there, it doesn't even matter. I mean, the revenge thing won't even matter, because he's just going to have the ball all the time. So, like I said, Westbrook is a guy who I would really keep an eye on in game. If that game ends up being closer, would really try to pick up shares of him, because going down the stretch, you know, he's going to have the ball a ton, and those points could pile up really quickly in the second half. Also mentioned Kent Bazemore as a potential value there. Again, this is a completely different play, but we can pick up cheap shares of a guy like that. Bazemore, pretty good usage. You know, the last game without the big studs in the lineup for the Lakers. And again, you don't have to go crazy, because Westbrook is going to be handling the ball a lot, but he would kind of be the second option. And I looking at cheap players like this, you know, expecting Kent Bazemore probably to be in like the top five guys at the end, but you don't need him to be either. You know, his fair market projection, his fair market value, his projected points to break even, it's not very big. So that's another guy I would really consider picking up some cheap shares of if you're looking to like double down in this game, if those guys get ruled out.
So Westbrook has had, just for people's peace of mind, 5 regular season games in his career against OKC in the last couple of years since leaving. Triple doubles in 3 of those, missed a 4th by 1 assist. And in a couple of trips there in OKC, he's gone for 30 plus points 2 or 3 times. So again, rosters built differently that he was with prior to this with the Lakers. He also had a postseason series against the Thunder while with the Rockets a couple of years ago, which they won. They took 2 out of 3 in that one. He played, I don't know, not to Russ standards in that series, but nevertheless, just something to think about for people who like to buy into the revenge narratives and all that type of stuff. Any other studs? And if anyone has any questions, by the way, throw them out. YouTube, Twitter, wherever you're finding us, we'll keep an eye on them, and happy to help you out. Any other studs that stand out to you before we get more toward the mid-tier and value guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think Damian Lillard is going to be kind of a polarizing guy tonight. He started poorly. He didn't make a 3 in his last game for like the first time in like a decade or something like that. Regardless, I mean, he's not playing well, but I mean, look, we're like 4 games into the season. He's got Memphis tonight, you know, kind of just bottom barrel in terms of defensive efficiency. In terms of the projections, I mean, he's kind of just compared to like what his fair market is on Jock Market. I mean, he's kind of just like middle of the pack. But actually, I shouldn't even say that. He is projected a little bit stronger than his fair IPO price on Jock Market. So again, a player who is getting a little bit of a bump here. And I like these situations buying low. I mean, Damian Lillard is a player we know can put up 60 points. I think he's going to be motivated going up against a guy like John Morant. A young player who,
Morant.
Yeah, and Moran is probably going to be the guy who people go after because of that recency bias thing here, but I like Lillard in this spot. I really do. Again, if you're not looking to pay up for Giannis or you just want another stud to invest in, I mean, I think Lillard is fine. I mean, you know, maybe he's a guy you grab a couple shares of, but he really does feel like a little bit more of a boom or bust, like a stock who could legitimately win the night, I think. So I like that. I like that that play quite a bit. And again, maybe not as popular. Maybe you don't have to bid as much as Towns and Antetokounmpo. So I think Damian Lillard, again, polarizing enough that you hopefully should be able to get for pretty good price on Jock Market tonight, I think.
Folks, we want to tell you, of course, our Osmo Plus NBA Weekly Pass, the Weekly Express here. It is only $4.95. That's it. $4.95 a week. Best way to introduce yourself to Osmo Plus NBA. We talk, obviously, about all the tools, all the information available to you. A lot of the stuff that Jeff has been reciting here is available right there with that Osmo Plus Platinum subscription. It's included access NFL DFS player and ownership ratings as well. So not just NBA, you can get into a little bit of NFL lineup builder, big board value plays, everything that we have to offer for showdown, single game format, all there. A little bit of a budget. Now the time, that's okay. Try it out. Osmo Plus NBA Express. Head over to Osmo Plus, the join page, pick up your pass. It's only $4.95. I guarantee you, I mean, Jeff and I, we talk about this stuff all the time. I can't sit here and promise you you're going to win $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars, but a $5 weekly investment, I promise you will exceed that by using a lot of these tools. So make sure you do it. Fantasy Cruncher, Lineup Builder, all that good stuff. Start winning. Join Osmo Plus today. We encourage that you do so. Moose, some of the mid-tier guys, and you know, you can reference whichever one you like, obviously, but some that jump out at me, and pricing is substantially less their fair IPO price compared to some of the bigger names that we were talking about. You could look at Fred VanVleet, Jonas Valanciunas. You can go to Bam Adebayo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously. We were talking about the Thunder before. Gordon Hayward is another one coming off a dud against his former Celtics team the first time he faced them. So these are some of the guys that are just kind of middle of the pack. Again, we'll get to more value guys, cheap guys a little bit later on. Robert Williams, you could include him as well. I'd be a little hesitant only because right now Al Horford is probable to return to the lineup for the Celtics tonight, which obviously diminishes Williams' value. He had a monster game the other night, though. So some of these guys, is there one in particular you like or maybe a different guy?
I mean, yeah, I really do like Robert Williams, but you're right. It's such a good matchup against Washington, right? Like you look at what Washington's done. They just don't defend centers well, but the Horford news, it's a little bit of cold water. I would even still say if Horford's back, I mean, how much do you think they're going to play Horford if he plays? I mean, is he just going to step right in? You're the Celtics insider. Give me some.
Yeah. Right. I mean, let me look at his minutes, the couple of games that he has played so far, but yeah, I don't think you play him to barely play him. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to play 15 minutes. Like the two games he missed the opener. That was still a COVID situation. He missed the last game because of this thigh injury that he's dealing with, the strained adductor for you medical professionals out there. But the two games that he has played, 30 minutes and 25 minutes. So, you know, I mean, that would tell me that Al Horford doesn't come in at less than 25, assuming that he does play. And right now, again, probable, which, you know, would indicate he's going to play.
Yeah. So it's, I guess, a bit of a dicey spot. It's a really, really good, really good matchup, though. So still something to consider with Robert Williams. Again, you know, the Wizard, you know, just allowed Miles Turner to go nuts there a few games ago. So
to Williams' point, just because Horford's available doesn't all of a sudden mean like Robert Williams plays 10 minutes. You know, the games that Horford has played, Robert Williams has still been pushing 30 minutes. So there's, you know, they could even both start together and go with the double big, which the Celtics have been prone to do this year.
Yeah, especially against Washington, right? I was just looking up. We definitely have Williams projected as a strong play. You know, his fair market on Jock Market is around $4. I think we have him projected at a fair IPO price of like over $7. So that's a player, again, and maybe the Horford news throws some people off, right? Maybe you can get him for cheaper. So Robert Williams, to me, is strong play. We really would like it if Horford was out, but even if he's in there, it's probably okay. You mentioned Fred VanVleet. Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, obviously with the injury, he's getting good usage there. I feel like he'll be popular again. You know, he's got a pretty big fair value up there of 7.5 on Jock Market, but a player who still projects pretty strongly for us as well. So, you know, that's one situation I almost might avoid just because you feel like you might get bid up. And, you know, maybe Fred VanVleet is more of like another good in-game target there. That Toronto game stays close. He'll probably have a lot of usage down the stretch. So always things you can think about with Jock Market. You don't always have to get on a player in an IPO. You can keep an eye on them if you're watching NBA all night. VanVleet may fall in that category for me. He's projected for about, you know, like standard in terms of what we have him projected for versus his Jock Market fair value. So another player to keep an eye on there. And then, you know, we could keep talking about this mid range, but Williams is really the guy who kind of stuck out for me. You mentioned Alexander, again, kind of another player who I don't think is going to like go under the radar for anyone this week or tonight, I should say, but definitely a player who should get a ton of usage as well. So, those are kind of like the three guys who really stuck out for me in the mid range, with Williams, I think probably being the best opportunity because, again, you could get either a lower IPO price with players being scared off because of Horford, or he could just have a big game, right? Regardless of price. So lots of opportunity there. Yeah. I'm not sure if there's anyone else you want to talk about in that range.
Well, some other good ones in that range, I think, and I don't know if any of them jump out at you, but just some ones that caught my eye. Jaren Jackson Jr., Mason Plumlee, Mo Bamba, if you're a believer, folks. Right. OG Anunoby is another one. Clint Capella, you could look at. Cole Anthony, DeAndre Ayton is another one as well. I think a lot of these guys, again, staying sort of in that mid-tier range where you're looking at, you know, anywhere between like the high $5 range to the low to mid $7 range. These are some of the guys that at least jump out at me.
Yeah, Ayton is actually interesting. He's got a pretty strong rating in the projections here. And if we're looking at his Jock Market fair value, it's actually not that big. And again, good matchup against Sacramento. So I think Ayton actually does project pretty well. That's a good call. A player, again, who, I mean, in a good matchup, probably not going to like be a blowout or anything. So yeah, we have him projected pretty strongly compared to what he is over in Jock Market. Yeah, so I like that call on Ayton for sure. Capella, again, really strong, like points per minute guy, has been most of his career. So I don't think you're going wrong there either. And again, like on Jock Market too, I mean, these guys who can rack up the points in the multiple categories so quickly tend to be just really good sort of investments over the long term because they're not point dependent. They're not going to bomb necessarily most nights. Like even if Ayton or a guy like Capella necessarily doesn't come through with that, with a huge point game, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to, you know, end up with like a completely low or terrible night. Actually, we do have Capella rated as a bit better than Ayton. So Capella, again, a really strong point per minute guy, but Ayton definitely has some upside in that matchup with Sacramento. I can't say I hate that either. If you're looking at that, we talked about Milwaukee too. So maybe I should touch on this, but you know, there's other players like Grayson Allen, I think is actually a pretty good low buy investment as well. I mean, he's going to get, you know, good quality minutes, averaging almost 25 fantasy points per game.
Yeah, he's doing well, off to a good start.
Yeah, so I think that's another like sort of lower price guy. And again, I mean, pretty sure we have him projected pretty well too. Yeah, we do. But he's not going to cost you much to get up there, right? So that's another player just in terms of like the games and like the injury situations we're monitoring I would kind of keep an eye on.
To that point, some injury, just stuff to keep an eye on, obviously, across some of these games. For Charlotte, Terry Rozier is doubtful. PJ Washington is out. Some of the stuff you guys will already know, but just to reiterate, obviously for the Celtics, we talked about Al Horford. He's expected back for Miami. Victor Oladipo is not playing. We know obviously Brooklyn won't have Kyrie Irving for maybe the entire season, but certainly tonight. Something to really watch for in this Indiana-Toronto game, where the Pacers, by the way, are 0-2 on the road and the Raptors are 0-3 at home. So something's got to give there. Caris LeVert, who has missed the first handful of games to start the year, is questionable to play. Pascal Siakam is not playing for Toronto. Gallinari is questionable for Atlanta. Zion Williamson remains out, obviously, for New Orleans. We talked about that Milwaukee-Minnesota game Again, LeBron is questionable for the Lakers, something to watch for. Dario Saric is questionable for Phoenix tonight. Ja Morant, that big game coming off of 40 against the Lakers, he's certainly playing there for Memphis. Marcus Morris Sr., he's out for the Clippers. Those are some of the bigger ones that we're watching for right now, and there are others, certainly. If we dip down price-wise here, Jeff, to not to like super, super cheap just yet, although we only have a few minutes left, so I'll highlight some of these other mid-tier guys or a little bit lower than mid-tier guys that just for people to think about, you know, for your own edification. There's Lou Dort. There's Jordan Nwora, who obviously, like, you know, play him to the ends of the earth. Everybody obsessed with Nwora this year. You could look at Mikal Bridges. You could look at, let's see, Terrence Ross is another one. Dan Gafford, precious, obviously, for Toronto. You get cheap, though. How about Nick Batum? Nick Batum is a real cheap guy for the Clippers to think about tonight. Another one, Nick Claxton, obviously, for the Nets. Let's see. Davion Mitchell, the rookie for Sacramento. You go real cheap. It could be a JaVale McGee investment night here. He is super, super cheap in that game for Phoenix. Those are some of the ones that that catch my eye as we go a little, you know, cheaper, cheaper, cheaper.
Yeah, no, Batum is interesting, definitely. A bit of a boomer bust type player, but I definitely don't hate that matchup either. Lots of guys out there for the Clippers, obviously, as well. So I think that's actually like a really good buy low spot. I'm going to bring up Terrence Ross as well, who I'm pretty sure had 0 points in his last game out, but projected to play in a close game here or a closer game. I believe it's Charlotte, right? I want to get that correct. Let's see. Already forgotten who they're playing. Charlotte. So should be, you know, projected to be like a slightly closer game. They should be able to keep it close. But Terrence Ross, the guy who, again, I mean, like from a fantasy production standpoint, Ross is averaging like almost, he's up there in like points per dollar and like not a bad, investment in a game like this, I think. He's very boom or bust, but he's not going to cost you much in the IPOs either. So Batum and Ross, kind of two guys I definitely don't hate at all. Batum probably with the better opportunity tonight. But again, if Orlando keeps that game close, I think it's a pretty good spot for Ross against Charlotte. So I'll end the show there, I guess. We don't have much time, but a couple cheap guys to take a look at there. Again, if you want to sprinkle a couple low guys or in with your studs, but you know, I think the theme of the night for me, again, who are you going to pay up? Who do you want to bid on? I think it's a good night to take a shot with Damian Lillard. I'd probably rather, if I was deciding between Giannis and Karl-Anthony Towns, I would probably rather try and get a little bit of a lower bid on Karl-Anthony Towns. Again, both guys projected really strongly. So you could even go in both if you want, but should be an interesting matchup between studs there. And then the Robert Williams play, I really like, although again, going to want to watch the Al Horford news.
A lot of stuff coming your way in the Osmo YouTube channel here beginning momentarily. Seconds, NHL strategy show. You will have Cliffy and Harris with you for that one from 2 to 3 Eastern time. A little bit later on, NBA Deeper Dive, 4:45. The NBA Live Before Lock at 6 o'clock Eastern. And you'll even have PGA Live Before Lock to get you going for what we got going on in Bermuda starting tomorrow morning. So thank you to everybody for being here with us. Thanks for Tyler for keeping us in check and educated, obviously. And Moose, just great to be back with you, my man. Let's do it again.
Yeah, see you next week, pal.
All right, everybody. Good luck tonight. Have fun.